So let's connect with our breath, feeling it going in and out through our nostrils, and feeling it getting us balanced as we are able to in this moment. Feeling it deepening just a little bit, not too strenuously, just gently lengthening the breath. And feeling the letting go of all our thoughts, worries, you know, busyness that we have had just before coming here. So that we can feel our heart being present. As if we are holding hands together, all hearts. And then we are going to say the invocation in a few different languages. And I will begin with Estonian. Ühtsuse poole. Armastuse, harmoonia ja ilu täiuslikkuse poole. Ainsa olendi poole. Ühendatud kõigi valgustunud hingedega, kes loovad meistri kehastuse, juhti ja vaimu. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And I will pass it on to Mia to say in Czech, if you don't mind.
Shall we together with Vanilka?
Yeah, oh, if you can do it together. Lovely.
You cannot? Okay, anyway. K jedinému. K dokonalosti lásky, harmonie a krásy. K jedinému bytí, spojenému se všemi osvícenými bytostmi, které tvoří vtělení mistra, ducha, jenž vede. And I will pass it on Vina.
Der Perfektion, der Liebe, der Harmonie und der Schönheit, dem einzig Seienden, vereint mit all den erleuchteten Seelen, den Meister, den Geist der Führung verkörpern. Well.
Sorry, couldn't hear that. Who were you passing it on to?
I was asking, shall I pass it on as well or
yes,
not?
Yes,
yes,
please.
I don't know. Robin Ireland, I can only read, I don't know more. So
it's Robin and Natalie, in fact.
Yeah, okay.
Shall we do French?
Vers l'unique, la perfection d'amour, d'harmonie et de beauté, le seul être uni à toutes les âmes illuminées qui forment l'incorporation du messager, l'esprit guide.
Latina?
Well, it was already spoken in German, but I could speak it in Bavarian if you like.
Yeah.
Or in English.
Which is, of course, it's a dialect, but it's quite different from the normal German. zu dem Orner hin, dem, wo es rund ist, dem Harmonischen, der Lieb, dem Schöne. Zusammen mit eure sehen, wo schon dort sind, bei dem Meister, wo in dem Kuh vom geführt werden schon sind, gut ist. Rouhani, can you say in, do you want to say?
Work. Yeah. Toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only one, united with all illuminated soul, who form the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance. And to Olga.
It was in Czech, I think so. So, no idea which language. It's okay.
Oh, thank you so much. How amazing it is to have this, Rouhani in English, and we can kind of play around with all our different languages. It's beautiful. Thank you. So welcome today to this session again, where we are working to start with a little bit with the inner life of I'm gonna do some reading from Hasratinath Khan and with Murshid Sam's commentary, and with some practices maybe interspersed there, and then we see how we go on from there. So last time when we were reading, really what we are doing, we are working with the qualities that we need to cultivate inside of ourselves to begin the spiritual path, to begin the inner journey. And as we are always at the beginning, then we just continue being at the beginning of the journey. So we were talking last time about forgiveness, working out all the kind of karmic debts that we might have from the past between different people and within ourselves. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but it's being interrupted by something, as if you were touching the microphone or something.
Oh, do you know what? I was just putting these papers on top of this. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that's better now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's it, fine.
Okay. So I will start with reading a little bit. We were talking about the intoxication that will not last, and that there will come a day when the eyes of the soul will be opened. And Hazratinath Khan is saying then, it is better that the eyes are opened while the purse is full, for it will be very difficult if the eyes open at a time when the purse is empty. And Tasawwuf. There is the picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, where it looks as if one were escaping his destiny, but in the end, he had just delayed it. Every moment is an opportunity, and when the eyes are opened, one is able to take full opportunity of opportunity. But in the Sufi path, more attention is paid to the love, graciousness, and compassion of God. And when one fully awakens to it, one is blessed. And when one is not awakened to it, the blessing comes, but one does not benefit therefrom. Gateka. To some consideration is due, to some respect, to some service, to some tolerance, to some forgiveness, and to some help. In some other way, in some way or other, in every relationship, in every connection, there is something to pay. And one must know before starting the journey that one has paid it, and be sure that one has paid it in full, so there is nothing more to be paid. Tasawuf. While this is given in the literature and presumably for the whole world, it is actually inner teaching. For in the classes of disciples, one is taught to be considerate, respectful, kind, tolerant, forgiving, and to assimilate all such virtues in oneself. As Grand Sheikh Suhrawardi has said, consideration consists in exhibiting consideration and not expecting consideration. The journey is one in which man assimilates the divine aspects so that they become part of one's nature. So let's take a moment here and just go back to our breath again. Feeling the breath balancing the in-breath and out-breath the same length. And simply you can bring the word Allah to your in-breath and to your out-breath. Feeling the sound of Allah kind of stretching out for the whole duration of your in-breath and then for the whole length of the out-breath. And now we keep that breath going and just consider, look at our life, look at the relationships we have in our life. And just seeing what is the attitude that we approach our relationships in our life. Are we approaching the our relationships with consideration, with care? Or are there perhaps some aspects or some, some particular people or some areas of our life where we are not offering the consideration and the care that that in our heart is our intention to give. So we just take a few moments and exploring these different areas of our life in this way. And at the same time, still keeping the breath balanced with Allah on the in breath and Allah on the out breath. And then maybe looking also at the like small relationships in our lives, things that might not be the most meaningful for us, or most the deepest and the most important relationships to us, but just the kind of casual encounters we have in our lives, and looking at how we, what is our attitude in those. And then we let go of these thoughts, the exploration, and for a few more breaths, just taking Allah in and Allah out. Amen. Kateka. Besides this, it is necessary that we, before starting our journey, realize that we have fulfilled our duties. Our duties to those around us, and our duty to God. But the one who considers their duty to those around themselves sacredly does their duty to God. Tasawwuf. This is not only for the aspirants. It is not only for the aspirants. It is for the disciples, and not only for those of the elementary study circle, but for those of all grades. Even the murshids look upon duty to every person who crosses their paths as a duty toward God. Walt Whitman has said, "In all men I see myself." Moses taught, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus repeated this with emphasis. For others it may be a privilege, but for the Sufi it is an absolute necessity. Kateka. Man must also consider before starting on his journey whether he has learned all he desired to learn from this world. If there is anything he has not learned, he must finish it before starting the journey. Tasawwuf. If this were taken too literally, there would be only the way of the ascetic. Ascetic, yeah. Muhammad has taught no monkery in Islam. There is not the division between the sacred and the profane. God is in everything and everybody. At the same time, there must be a different attitude that no longer one is considering the ego self first and foremost. Gataka. For if one thinks, I will start the journey, although I had the desire to learn something before starting. In that case, they will not be able to reach their goal. That desire to learn something will draw them back. Every desire, every ambition, every aspiration that they have in life must be gratified. Every desire, every ambition, every aspiration that we have in life must be gratified. It's like this, you know, the question that what draws us to spiritual path? What is it that we are really yearning for when we are on the spiritual path? And if you look at that question and contemplate about it, then the answer to that question is what holds you back, actually. So, perhaps that's something interesting to think about at some point. Tasawwuf. If taken literally, there would be little value in trying to present any kind of spiritual teachings to the world. Someone has said, Zen is everyday life. It is not necessary to have monasteries. Even kankas are not monasteries, though they may have facilities for those in retirement. This teaching is brought out more fully in The Purpose of Life. Just another paper. Gataka. Not only this. We must have no remorse of any kind when starting on this journey, and no repentance afterwards. If there is any repentance or remorse, it must be finished before starting. Tasawwuf. This does not mean that the inner life is reserved for the good and pure. If this were so, there would be no turning away from what is evil or what is incomplete. When one takes the bayat, one lays himself or herself before Allah, who is the all-merciful, all-compassionate. And by keeping one's heart on Allah, one need not have this dualistic attitude any longer. Tawbah, or repentance, does not mean the dualistic contriteness. It means turning from selfhood to godhood. So again, you know, like last time we were talking about, you know, we were doing some practices for forgiveness. And here Murshid Sam is mentioning Tawbah, which is, The same word, like the wazifa that we know as ya tawab, which is the turning toward God, turning away from our grudges and perceived kind of individual defects toward the perfection of God. It's kind of like literally, instead of facing our shadow, we just turn the other way and face the sun, and then the sun is fully on our face. And it is an antidote of to our wounded self of self wounded sense of self-deficiency. So I thought we could do this practice for a little bit as well now. Together, pairing it together with another forgiveness practice, which is the Ya Afu, which is you could say the completion of the forgiveness practice. It's the perfection of divine forgiveness, which is which emanates from the pure essence of the forgiveness itself. So it's kind of like Ya Afu. It's like a wind which blows over the desert and completely erases all the footprints that have been left there from anything that needs forgiving. So once that wind has gone over, the landscape is totally pristine, like nobody has ever walked there. Nothing has ever disturbed the sand. Or the other way of looking at it, if you prefer, is that it's like a wind blowing away the ashes. So it's kind of like when we are holding a grudge, it's kind of like a fire in our being, and then we let go of that, then that fire dies down, and then it's like this wind blowing away the last of the ashes, so that again that there is no sign of it, nothing is left. So let's do that practice a little bit, Ya Tawab and Ya Afu, working on this turning towards light, turning away from our shadow, and then totally erasing whatever was there before. Another way of looking at Ya Afu is also that it's like Sadi said, used to say that it's like a cosmic sneeze. It's like Ya Afu, Afu, and it just totally, blows away everything that is that we don't need. So, Ya Tawwab, Ya Afu, 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 And now taking it more inside. Breathing in, Yatawab, breathing out, Yaafu. And now letting go of the words, just breathing with a feeling in our heart for a moment. Amen. Kateka. There must be no grudge against anybody, and no complaining of anyone having done you harm. for all these things which belong to the world. If we took them along, would become a burden on the spiritual path. The journey is difficult enough, and it becomes more difficult if there is a burden to be carried. Tasawuf. It is not that one can say, I have no grudge. It is that the grudge is heaviness. It is that the ill will is a burden which affects not only the mental and moral aspects of life, but even the body suffers, and perhaps suffers even more therefrom than from purely physical causes. Jesus has said, My yoke is easy, my burden is light. When one surrenders to God, the burden, or rather the karma of burdens, is taken from one. Therefore, Akla Kala is often practiced by disciples to become free from the psychological and moral complexes. The soul is by nature free, and if it is kept free from samskaras, then the joy is natural. The Akla Kala, that's the you could say the science of ethics, or it's like the character that we develop or that we cultivate in Sufism. So, that's all the practices that we do that help us and support us to refine the sides of us that we might be maybe struggling with, or the sides that are not so wholesome and not serving. So just tiny bit more reading for today. Gateka. If a person is lifting a burden of displeasure, dissatisfaction, discomfort, it is difficult to bear it on the path. It is a path to freedom, and to start on this path to freedom, one must free themselves. No attachment should pull them back. No pleasure should lure us back. Tasawuf. One does not always realize that if one carries displeasure, dissatisfaction, discomfort, or ill will, these themselves are burdens. If one were weightlifting or exercising with such burdens, one would not do so well. And if one tested the muscles and organs of the body under such circumstances, they would find that they too were unwell. Many diseases arise from such sources, which are not cured by the material medicines. There is a process of prophylaxis in getting rid of discomfort. Sometimes it's material, sometimes it is psychological, and sometimes other factors are at work. The process of purification means both cleansing the body and cleansing heart and mind. So this is where I'd like to stop with the reading for today. Maybe do one other practice now. A practice that I wanted to introduce to kind of respond to these words that Mercy Sam said here, that the soul is by nature free, and if it is kept free from samskaras, then the joy is natural. And when one surrenders to God, the burden, or rather the karma of burdens, is taken from one. So we're going to do a practice that helps us to embody that trust, that faith, that we are protected and we are looked after totally by the one, by God, by Allah. So we're going to use another two wazifas here for that. The first one is Ya Mu'min. Ya Mu'min. And this is the one who offers us the real trust, real faith, that is free of all fear and all deceit. It's the divine gift that allows us to feel safety, confidence, and security in our heart. It is the antidote to hypocrisy and, you know, fanaticism. fanaticism and also antidote to just blind faith. So it offers us the real sense of, it's like the embodiment of the trust, embodiment of trust. And then the second one that we are using is the Ya Muhaimin. Ya Muhaimin. And it comes from similar root. It's all about trust and protection. And this one, excuse me, as has this word high hidden in the middle of it, and that's kind of like that it's really engaging with life fully, that helps us to manifest manifest this total trust. And excuse me. And Ya Muhaimin, it's what preserves the essence of a thing from corruption. It's our highest guidance and protection in that way. So we have this Ya Mu'min and Ya Muhaimin. Ya Mu'min and Ya Muhaimin. So let's go again into our breath. And for a moment before we start the practice, maybe we can look at our life and see which parts of ourselves feel supported and held in that trust, or, you know, where do we feel protected and totally trusting in our lives? And also, where do we feel unsupported, or where do we feel which parts of us are feeling like not included in that protection, in that trust? And when we start with a practice, then when we say Ya Mu'min, then really feeling that in our heart, kind of bringing that trust into our body, into our heart, really embodying that trust, bringing it into the places in our life, the areas of our life where we feel maybe that the trust is not present, or where we feel unsupported. And then when we say Ya Muhaimin, then kind of bring that sense of protection into our heart, and it's like it's radiating out from our heart in all directions around us, so that the protection that we feel inside of our being also radiates out all around us. bringing it into life. Ya muhaimin, ya ya muhaimin. Breathing in, ya muhmin. Breathing out, ya muhaimin. Breathing in that sense of truly trusting, feeling supported, protected. Breathing out, letting that trust, that protection, that sense of embodying that trust. Radiate out from our heart. And letting go of any words, just breathing with whatever we feel in our heart in this moment. I mean, and now very quick Allah practice to seal what we have been doing here. And just repeating the Allah into our heart, bringing that reality of total compassionate. Loving sort of sense of being immersed in that ocean of love and forgiveness and compassion. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Amen.